headlines, and shenanigans.
What's up, creepers, and welcome back to another episode of Headlines and Shenanigans.
I feel like we need to start having one of those like news ticker tapes that comes across like headlines, and shenanigans.
Oh, I like that. I'm gonna sample that.
Like it's a it's a radio DJ soundbite.
Exactly. But we are back here with you again on the free platform because we had a Patreon episode where we covered Bernard C. Welch. If you haven't heard of him, I mean, he's obviously the ghost burglar.
I mean,
that's probably why you haven't heard of him, because he's such a ghost burglar.
I mean, he's only known to people who believe in ghosts.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's how good of a burglar he is.
You've got to be a believer to know about murder.
Allegedly the most prolific burglarer of all time. That's what we covered on Patreon. So be sure to check that out, patreon.com/truecrimeguys. But today, here with you creepers, we are going to be talking about some headlines and hopefully some shenanigans.
There's at least a shenanigan.
At least a shenanigan. I'm good with that. If it's a good shenanigan. Like the Willy Wonka surprise.
Okay, so it's not so much of a fail like that. This is actually so far. I'll tease you a little bit, Michael. We are going to talk about a heist.
A heist. I do like a good heist.
We're talking about victimless crime.
Did they steal something silly? I hope so.
$30 million.
Oh, that's not silly at all.
I mean, to some people.
That's...
It's pocket change.
I mean, it's silly as in crazy.
To us around here at True Crime Guys, $30 million pocket change.
Yeah. Pocket change my life.
Pocket change my identity.
Jesus. Seriously.
You'd never see me again.
Change my fucking location, bro.
Change my tax bracket.
Yeah.
But today on Headlines and Shenanigans, Michael, the headline that has been going around for a while, and we've waited a little bit now, but it's time to talk about Diddy.
Well, a lot of people are talking about it, I think. I think you're right on time, really.
I mean, people have been talking about it for a while, and that's kind of the hard part.
I know, since the Tupac thing.
I mean, we talked about a lot with the Tupac thing, but even now, even over the past several years, there have been a lot of like little allegations. There have been a lot of accusations. There have been a lot of court cases. There have been a lot of things with circling around
Diddy. A lot of rappers with YouTube accounts telling what they know.
Exactly.
We don't know who to believe.
Yeah, Diddy's been kind of circling the drain for a couple months now, almost a couple years, but it's, you know, the more we kind of learn now, it seems like this has been a ongoing thing. I don't know if Diddy's ever going to go down. That's one of those things. It's like if Diddy goes down, we have a problem on our hands.
We got a problem?
Power vacuum in New York.
Oh, okay.
It's like Kingpin going down.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, it's like a Marvel villain going down at this point. But yeah, Diddy right now, Sean Diddy Combs has been, you know, everybody has, I don't know if you've been living under a rock for a while.
Yeah, sometimes.
But Diddy has been very much in the headlines lately when federal agents with the U.S. Homeland Security Department raided two of the rapper's homes in Los Angeles Miami. Well, just two of his homes in Los Angeles and Miami on March 25th as he faces a string of various allegations. Most of those allegations have been, people have been kind of like following around the sex trafficking allegations, and there's a non-consensual recording that's been going on in Diddy's houses. A lot of the people we're talking about, there's been a lot of, video cameras and tapes being taken from the home and stuff. But there've been a lot of lawsuits that have kind of gone around Diddy over the past few months. But he has not been charged with anything just yet. As of the time of this recording.
Oh, no, they got to make sure they get their ducks in a row.
They got to make sure. They got to comb through hours of tapes.
Yes.
They got to go through every recording, every audio, every camera, everybody who can possibly be interviewed, they're going to go through it. But these new lawsuits come months after Combs' former partner, Cassandra Ventura, or Cassie, she filed a lawsuit against him in November. She accused the rapper of raping her in 2018, beating her, demanding she carry a firearm to make her uncomfortable and to demonstrate how dangerous he was, and forcing her into unwanted sexual encounters with various male sex workers. So Mrs. Ventura's lawsuit against Combs was settled a day after she filed it for an undisclosed amount of money. So she filed this lawsuit in November for all those different things I just listed. Uh-huh. And the day after she filed the lawsuit, Diddy settled out of court for an undisclosed amount of money.
Uh-huh.
So not even enough time for her to like get headlines made, for her to get to the public, to her to get to press.
That's right.
So not even a day later.
That was a good play on her part, though. Quick get rich quick scheme there, huh?
I mean, to an extent, but I think this is one of those things that's like
he must have offered. But then if she turns up dead.
He must have offered a ton of money. But there's been a slew of allegations and lawsuits against Diddy that go back as far as 1990s when he founded, you know, record label Bad Boy Records. The lawsuits against the rapper began in 2023 when he was sued by Cassie, who a former partner who had alleged years of abuse against Diddy. But R&B singer Cassie filed this lawsuit when she alleged that she was trafficked, raped, and beaten by Combs over a 10-year period. Holy so, like, shit. Their relationship was over a long, short-term period. So this wasn't just one of his most recent partners. This was a long-term partner that he had.
Uh-huh.
Her lawsuit also claims that she brought that Combs brought the singer into his ostentatious, fast-paced, and drug-fueled lifestyle after she met him when she signed him to her label in 2005 when she was only 19 and he was 37. Oh. So, again, there's also this little bit of a...
Wait, he signed her to...
Yeah, he signed her to his label. Okay. I'm sorry. I misspoke there.
That's what I figured, but...
But yeah, there's another thing, but that bit of an age gap there, because there's been a lot of allegations around Diddy and some underage things, a lot of the recordings.
I mean, to be fair, 19's not underage.
It's not, but at the same time, she's, you know, it's one of those things that's like, was she grooming, kind of talking to her beforehand? She was signed at 19.
Right.
But there's been a lot of other, you know, cases filed against Diddy and filed over the, you know, years against Diddy. But in the most recent lawsuit against Combs, producer Rodney Lil Rod Jones alleged he was subjected to unwanted advances by Diddy at his direction, and that he was forced to engage in relations with sex workers that Combs had hired. This is a separate lawsuit that was filed on February 26th of this year.
He just likes to get people together and watch them have sex, I guess?
It seems to be, according to a lot of the allegations, it's not so much as he just likes to watch. It's more or less that he kind of forces people into these precarious situations with, you know, sex workers or underage girls or things like that of nature, to where he can maybe get blackmail on people, or he can now have power over people, where he's now bringing in people into this life so that now they're culpable, so no one can talk. And it's kind of like, you know, kind of building this like blackmail ring to an extent.
Oh, okay.
So that's where this guy, this new lawsuit from February 26th, that's what he's accusing Diddy of. That producer who worked for Combs between September of 2022 and November of 2023 claims Combs sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him for more than a year. He also claims that he has video and audio evidence of Combs. So like I said, they've already been combing through a lot of that evidence in his house. But this guy says he has evidence of Combs and his staff and others engaging in serious illegal activity. The lawsuit identified 50 Cent's former girlfriend and the mother of one of his children as one of the alleged sex workers. So yeah, apparently some of these allegations are hosting regular sex trafficking parties with underage women and illegal drugs, and implies record label executives who had looked the other way when financially benefited from access to celebrities and dignitaries, including the British royal, like Prince Harry.
Hello.
Yeah, Prince Harry's not being accused of anything, but except for just attending some of these parties.
Sounds like you're accusing him, Andy.
Well, I'm saying, you know,
why would you attend these parties?
Guilty by association! You knew him! There's a picture of the two of you! You saw him one time!
I mean, seeing him one time and going to these parties that are for sex trafficking, it's two different things.
Exactly. It's more like, the Epstein list. It's like, exactly. Were you on the island or did you meet him at a fundraiser? It's like one of these two things. It's like, were you on the plane or did you see him at a dinner one time?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
Everybody's burning their pictures with him.
Yeah. So everybody's like, where are the paparazzi? Where's that fundraiser I went to in 1999? Right. I swear to God, there was a gray-haired man. He had a young girl with him. I don't know if it was him. Just burn the picture.
Just burn the picture.
That was Mel Brooks. Burn it! I don't know!
It was Alex Trebek.
That was Woody Allen. Yeah, you know what? Burn that one. Actually, you know, burn that one. But yeah, one of Diddy's neighbors, Ryan Mendelson, age 20, apparently he used to live in the neighborhood, he told reporters he would see parties at the home and women outside until usually 6 a.m. I drive by a lot, and I see that. A lot of girls, maybe 5 or 6 girls outside, some of them leaving, some of them not, some going in, some never going in. I never thought anything of it, said Mr. Mendelson, who added he lived there. But now that I've seen the news, it's crazy. I mean, for a while, you're probably just looking at Diddy's house and you're like, damn, rock star.
Yep.
Just got bitches everywhere.
Yep.
Just bitches wandering the yard, bitches on the driveway.
Like an episode of Boondocks.
It is. It's like an episode of Boondocks. Look at Thugnificent over there.
Thugnificent.
Got bitches everywhere. Got a water slide. Got bitches all. Yeah, it's probably looking like that. It's like moving in this neighborhood. It's like, damn. But now after you hear all these things, it's like,
yeah.
I probably should have called somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is another lawsuit in this whole, you know, plethora of lawsuits as well from Joey Dickerson Neal. In November of 2023, Joey filed a lawsuit alleging that Combs drugged her, sexually assaulted her, and secretly recorded the assault while she was a college student back in 1991. Mm. Yeah, so there's some of these things I said. These are allegations dating back to the early 90s, back when he was just Puff Daddy. You know, he was puffy back in the day.
So do you think everyone's coming out now because other people have already started it and, you know, he's kind of like on the run? So they're like, you know what? Yeah, he did this to me.
I think it probably is. It's kind of like a Harvey Weinstein situation.
It's like, why now? Because now they feel like they're not alone.
It's like a Weinstein situation. It's like a R. Kelly situation. It's this situation where it's like, oh, if enough people do speak up, then you can't deny all these allegations.
Exactly.
Because if all these different women or different people who he assaulted all thought that, like, well, if it's just me, they won't just believe me. He's this multi-billion-dollar music mogul with fucking armies of lawyers. Exactly. So it's like all these people think, well, nobody's going to listen to just one person. But now if they keep seeing continuous people come forward, yes, it's like I said, it's just like Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. But like I said, this dates back to 1991 when she alleges that she was drugged, resulting in her being in a physical state where she could not independently stand or walk. The suit also claims that he recorded the assault and showed it to multiple other people. Mm. She later filed police reports in New York and New Jersey, spoke to prosecutors, but was told by colleagues that they were terrified that Combs would retaliate against them and that they would lose future business and music opportunities if they made a statement in support of her. So like I said, Diddy's been a gangster. Diddy's been a gangster for a long time, and not just a rapper gangster, not just a SoundCloud gangster, not someone who's just pretending street cred. Like, the fact that Diddy's name is that tied up in the Tupac death and that tied up in the Biggie death, it's not because he was just around, all right? It's not just because he was also a producer.
Yeah.
It's because Diddy was the one walking around being like, man, I sure hope somebody shoots that man for me. I bet he would make a lot of money if he did. You know, it's a little less tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But yeah. Continuous women have come forward consistently doing very similar allegations against Combs. Two women said they were teenagers at the time when they were allegedly assaulted. Another plaintiff in November accused Combs and Aaron Hall, a singer songwriter, of raping her and a friend in 1990 or 1991 after meeting at an MCA Records event in New York. But yeah, there's several people who are also being brought into the fray with Diddy. And like we talked about, he's been allegedly accused of having so much documentation, so much videotape, so much recording of people participating in these sex parties and these drug parties and all these different things that it's almost like he's got a lot of people to start collaborating with him and getting in on this with him.
Right. Right.
Cause they feel like a lot of these people feel like, well, if I do it with Diddy, no one can touch him. So facto, they can't touch me.
Right.
It's kind of like being, you know, safe by association.
Uh huh.
Yeah. There's been multiple lawsuits. Another unnamed accuser in December was hit with another lawsuit who claimed that she was gang raped as a 17-year-old girl back in 2003. Whoa. So, yes, the suit accuses Combs of sex trafficking in which Jane Doe was flown by a private jet from her home in Michigan to New York. So, exactly. There is a lot of allegations going against Diddy right now. He hasn't been formally charged with anything yet. They are still going through a lot of these, you know, red tape, going through all the allegations, going through all the different recordings. But, you know, of course, right now, Diddy's denying all allegations. His army of lawyers is out in full force, you know, denying everything while he's somewhere on a private jet somewhere right now hiding. But at the same time, you know, two of Diddy's sons were also taken into custody during those raids. Like, they were at home when those raids happened. So it's not – and his sons are adult male. They're adults. It's not like he has, like, two children that were taken into custody.
It's like a
30-year-old.
Yeah, so Diddy's, he's, like, in his 50s.
Yeah, like I said, his eldest son's, like, 30. Yeah. So it's not like these were children that were taken from him.
Right.
But there's been a lot of allegations that have gone on around Diddy over the past several years dating back to the early 90s. So whether or not these things ever actually come to fruition is going to be something we're going to have to follow up on, because this might be something just like R. Kelly. We saw in the past several years, that whole documentary was, you know, surviving R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And that man was doing things for years. And we even knew about that shit.
Yep.
Dave Chappelle had the whole, you know, I piss on you song.
Yeah.
Because that was something we all knew about from 2001 or some shit.
It was like OJ at that point. It was like, we know he did it.
Yeah, we know R. Kelly is a gross motherfucker who peed on like a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So we have a fucking tape of it. And yet he was still making albums. He was still out there on tour.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, after all these allegations for years, are they finally going to be able to actually be like, you know what? Maybe there's enough proof now. Maybe there is enough proof, enough witnesses, enough allegations that we can finally get some evidence to tie Diddy. And if they've if they've raided his houses and they've got, you know, fucking decades worth of tapes on hand now, they may have some dark shit. That may be like that Epstein flight log right there. The fucking tapes from Diddy's house parties.
There's probably shit we will never see on there.
Oh, no. It'd be like Prince stuff going to vault.
Yeah.
But still, like, that might be just as damning as like the Epstein flight log.
Yeah.
People on Diddy's recordings at his parties with different things like that could ruin people. Mm-hmm. It could ruin their careers. It could bring down billionaires. So yeah, this is something we're going to have to follow, whether or not these allegations go anywhere. But I don't know how much longer Diddy can dodge this. Like, this is something he's been dodging and being able to, you know, maneuver around.
He can disappear
around.
If he wants to, though.
I don't know if he can. Like, he's Diddy. He's P. Diddy. He can't blend in anywhere.
Little plastic surgery.
I mean, we saw him making the band on Chappelle's Show. He can't just do anything by himself. He got to be carried around, drinking the finest Cambodian breast milk money can buy.
That's true. So he does have very high standards.
Yeah, Diddy can't just blend in somewhere.
That's right. So you're not going to find him living in a hut in Cambodia or something.
Yeah, it's like this guy's not going, you know, he's not going to be in, Brazil or Argentina, like an old Nazi or something like
that.
Like,
right.
He can't blend in. He's fucking P. Diddy. He's been everywhere. He's been on TV and multi-million-dollar music videos.
Yeah.
His face is recognizable. So I feel like either he somehow manages to dodge this again.
Yeah.
Or this might be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
It might be. I think it will. I think too much is piling up, man.
Oh, no. I think, you know, what is it, 50 Cent's already making a documentary about it?
I don't think he's going to jail, though.
I don't know. If he does, it'll be weird...
No, I mean, I think he's going to go out in like a, you know, Pablo Escobar style or some shit, bro. I don't think he's going to jail.
I see. I don't know. I think Diddy's the kind of person, he has that kind of like godfather mentality where he's like, I could go to jail and still run my empire. Like, kind of deal where he's like, you know, it's like, it wouldn't slow me down at all. I'd be the king of that jail. I'd be the king of prison. I could see Diddy being like, you know, fuck it. If I go to jail, that's just more credit to me. Like, it really does prove that I'm a gangster. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, finally you got me. But right. I could see, you know, I don't know if Diddy's going to go out with a blaze of glory or blaze of gunfire or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we'll like I said, I feel like this might be the thing. This might be the final straw where, like I said, 50 Cent's already doing a little documentary about it. He didn't give a shit. Come shoot him again. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What's Diddy going to do to him? I already had done to him.
Yeah.
But like I said, this might be
something important.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Fucking shoot me? Bring it on!
I just think about that scene in Buster Scruggs, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, where the old gold miner, he finally finds the gold, and then that young outlaw comes up and shoots him. And then he plays dead in the hole, and then when the guy's not looking, he jumps around and shoots him and kills him. He's like, you didn't hit nothing important. You didn't hit nothing important.
Like I said, I feel like this was going to be one of those things. We're going to see a few documentaries in the next couple months, next couple years.
A few.
Diddy did it. Just that's going to be so. It's going to be. I mean, it's going to write itself. I mean, the puns are there.
Diddy did it. Right?
The puns are there.
They are.
Diddy do it? See? It's right there.
It's right there.
But like I said, we're going to go ahead and move away from Diddy, Michael, because we can't solve this crime. We don't have the connections. We're not invited to these parties.
No.
We're not on anybody's guest list like that.
No. Guest list.
Best thing I might get is being a job at a caterer at one of these events. But right now, Michael, we are going to go back to LA. We're going to stay in the LA.
I need some shenanigans in my life.
We're going to stay in sunny California.
Okay.
We're going to talk about one of LA's largest cash heists of all time over Easter weekend.
Oh my God. Burglars, how dare they?
Right?
Did they rob a church?
The disrespect. If a church had $30 million in its vault, good for these burglars. Fuck them. I don't even think the police would investigate.
But freaking Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church probably got $30 million in a vault.
If they had $30 million in cash in a vault at a church, that's what I'm saying. I bet the cops would even investigate the robber. They'd be investigating that church in a night.
Hold on a minute.
They stole what? No. Fuck that. How much?
It doesn't matter. It's untaxable.
That's what I'm saying. It's like stole like 30 mil in cash. Right. I'm gonna need to see a look at your books. Why don't you let me take a look at that offering plate, Father? Why don't you go ahead and let's see where this 30 mil came from?
Right.
You know what? Yeah, fuck them. If they got it, that's good for them. That's good for them. That's God's money. What? If it's meant for the church, it'll come back.
Yeah.
I can see a cop just looking at something, looking at Joel Osteen like, oh, no, if it was God's money, he'll get it back. Yeah. Well, we'd talk to you for a bit. Right. 30 mil cash, small bills? Really? Okay.
Exactly. Interesting.
All hundreds? Wow. Fresh. Okay. But like I said, $30 million was stolen from a vault in LA over the Easter holiday. And like I said, Michael, fucking Jesus is risen. That's a miracle right there.
$30 mil. But they got caught, obviously.
No.
They didn't get caught.
We are still missing $30 million, Michael.
That's impressive.
Actual masterminds.
That's
here.
Fucking impressive.
This wasn't a North Carolina heist, as you can see.
No.
No one went and blew it out a Dollar General later on that day. But in one of the largest cash heists in Los Angeles history, thieves made off with as much as $30 million in an Easter Sunday burglary at the San Fernando Valley Money Facility in LA. I did not know there were money facilities.
Apparently.
Like, that's just
apparently they have low security on Easter.
I thought that was like just Fort Knox. Like, that's a money facility. What else?
Right.
There's banks and Wells, Loomis Fargo's facilities. Is that what this is? Like, what's a money facility? We just store money here. What do you do with it? Yeah, just look at it.
Yeah. You need some?
We just keep it, kind of collect it, We can't spend it. We just store it. Yeah. We charge people to store their money.
It raises the value of the dollar.
It just increases in value. But like I said, these guys, they stole from the San Fernando Valley Money Storage Facility. The burglary occurred on Sunday night at a facility in Selmar where cash from businesses across the region is handed and stored. So basically, like the Loomis Fargo facility in the Masterminds case.
Right.
So it is. It's almost like a Loomis facility where like armored cars would go.
Yeah.
The thieves were able to breach the building as well as the safe where the money was stored, and they believe through a hole in the roof. Mystery has surrounded the break-in ever since. But this is the largest in the city history when it comes to straight cash.
Damn.
So like I said, $30 million in cash. The total has surpassed any armored car heist in the city. So like I said, how much was the Masterminds case? Like, what was it, 20 mil or something like that?
I think it was 20 mil.
So yeah, they even surpassed that. But sources familiar with the investigation told the Times that the burglary crew broke through the roof of the building on Oxford Street to gain access to the vault. But it's unclear how they avoided all the alarm systems, because this wasn't like an inside man job like the Masterminds. They don't have a fucking idiot dancing on the cameras in the end.
Right.
I got all the money. They said these guys definitely must be professionals. They discovered this theft on Monday morning. The helicopter video shows a large cutout on the side of the building covered by plywood at this time. But the authorities were alerted at the time, and the LAPD's Mission Division station responded to the crime to gather evidence. But there is an effort to breach the side of the building. At least one alarm was triggered when they did make the breach during the crime, but it was not connected to local law enforcement.
Oh.
According to a source familiar with the investigation, authorized to discuss it publicly. That just makes me think of fucking Batman. Because do you remember the opening of the Dark Knight movie? Remember that, like, it's the opening of the Dark Knight where the Joker's crew is like robbing that bank or whatever. And they do. He breaks the alarm and the guy's like, huh, that's funny. It wasn't reaching out to 911. He's trying to reach a private number. Batman. I'm sorry, were you guys calling Batman? Like, what number was this alarm system calling out to? It's like one of these things, it's almost like, who are they trying to alert before the cops?
I don't think it was calling anybody. I think that's what they were saying. Like, it wasn't, it was just a sound.
It was just an alarm to the facility. I was going to say, if it was alerting like a private company, or if it was alerting like somebody, it's like, was this like a money laundering facility? Is this like alerting Gus Fring in a fucking laundromat somewhere?
Well, private security is on the rise too, man.
Oh, fuck, I know. I know a guy who does that shit.
Yeah.
But like I said, further adding to the intrigue is very few individuals who would have even known about the huge sums of cash that were being kept in that safe. So there's probably definitely an inside man at this point. The break-in was described as elaborate and suggesting a very experienced crew who knew how to gain entry to a secure facility like this. Scott Andrew Shelby, who's the co-author of Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History, said that this theft has all the markings of a really well thought out job. It's very like Ocean's 11 type deal.
Right.
This was done by a professional crew adding that based on the majority of heists of this nature, it's likely that the thieves have had some inside intelligence. There's no way that these guys were just like, this was not somebody just staking it out. This was not just a breaking and entering type situation.
Right.
This had planning. This had knowledge. Yep. This had things on the inside.
Yep. And I guarantee you Easter Sunday had something to do with it too.
Oh, absolutely. People are, you know,
probably the only day of the year where no one was going to be at the facility.
People have got PTO put in. They're out of town. They're visiting family. It's all, people are busy that day. But as to whether or not the money is traceable, Selby says it depends on whether there are records of serial numbers or the cash that is collected that's already been in circulation. It's hard to hide the ill-gotten gains and launder traceable bills. So this money, they don't know whether or not the money that they stole had been put through circulation yet. Had been put into the storage facilities circulation. So they knew which bills were in circulation. Yep.
Knew that they didn't know that. And that's why they took those, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, they had some inside knowledge.
No dye packs, no nothing like this. Like I said, the prior largest cash robbery was in 1997 when they stole $18.9 million from the former Dunbar Armored Car facility on Mateo Street. But those people behind the incident were eventually caught. So as of right now, we still have no idea who did this.
Wow.
I do believe as of a couple days ago, there were some fingerprints that were found, I believe, at the scene. And there is CCTV footage of the area. But I'm sure these guys are in there. They're masked up. There's nothing really seen on there. Yeah, this isn't gonna be like Ocean's 11. You're not gonna have a guy just sitting there looking at the camera, being like, "Look at this backflip I did," you know?
Right, right.
But this is gonna be something. Like I said, this is a heist where I can't really be upset about it. Like I said, it's kind of cool so far. I mean, like $30 million from a money storage facility.
Dude, that's insane.
This was a money storage facility. This wasn't even a bank. These guys didn't go into a bank and rob.
It's still somebody's money, though.
It's insured money. Yeah. Like I said, this is money, money. This is cash facility.
Yeah. No, props to them, dude. It's impressive.
Like I said, these guys are
incredible. When did this happen? How long have they been on the run?
So Easter Sunday. What is this? We're recording this on April 9th. So they've been away for what, 9 days, 10 days now?
Yeah. Coming up on 2 weeks.
If we get that month or two, all of a sudden some guy in LA starts buying jet skis at the wazoo.
Right.
We're gonna see these masterminds again. But I don't think we're seeing that. I don't think we're gonna see good old David Gant again down in Cabo being like, "I got $50K and a margarita."
No, I don't think so, friend. I think they are going to be smart with it. If they're that smart to pull off that heist and, get around all the security systems, surely that a money storage facility would have. Like, come on, dude.
Apparently fucking our guy from our Patreon episode had a better security system than this fucking money storage facility. That guy had motion sensors and weight sensors on his goddamn yard. Yeah. And these guys just cut a hole in the roof and dropped in like it was Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Like I said, these guys,
get that much money out, dude? You know how much 30 mil had to weigh?
I mean, mil took up the back of a cargo van.
Yeah.
And that was 20 mil, and they still, how much, they left, what was it, like 3 mil behind?
Well, look,
small bills, but still, they left 3 mil in that truck.
Yeah.
He could only fit like 20 mil in there without the truck just dragging the ground.
Well, on Breaking Bad, when he has those 8 barrels of money?
Yeah.
Apparently, that's 80 mil.
Mm-hmm.
That the 8 barrels, so 10 mil a barrel, so like 3 full fucking barrels of money.
Oh yeah,
they took up the top 55 gallon barrels of
money. Well, we don't know how they got out. We know that's how they got in. They may have walked right.
That's true.
Front. We don't know how they got out of the building.
Yeah, they didn't
right
take
now.
Them barrels up. They need like a fucking helicopter or some shit.
Oh yeah, you there's no way you're hoisting those things up through a warehouse roof.
Right.
You gotta have Brock Lesnar up there just being like, "Whoo, give me some chalk." Half Thor Bjorgensen up there just being like, "Ah!"
No, they probably threw him on a forklift, drove him out.
Yeah, I guess they just walked and just rolled it out.
Yeah.
Put it up on its side, spun it out a little bit, put on some hand trucks.
There you go.
I was thinking just Breaking Bad. Like,
yeah, when they
Walt
steal
and Jesse,
the methylamine.
Trying to steal the drum of methylamine.
Like, yeah.
Why didn't they just steal a hand truck?
These guys are idiots. when Hank's watching the tape, he's making fun of him. He's like, "Idiots, get a hand truck."
They stole a fucking, why did they just steal a hand truck?
The greatest, best chemist we've ever seen. Don't want to get a fucking hand truck.
Doesn't want to steal a hand truck? Well, that's probably the maintenance guys. I don't want to steal his personal.
Right.
He used that every day. I was just
Exactly.
I don't want to inconvenience the janitor. That's just rude.
But that's pretty impressive, man. I'll be curious to see if these guys get caught.
I said we might have a full ass page, like a TCG proper case on this one day. You know, $30 million.
Not if they don't get caught.
If they don't get caught,
what are we covering, Andy?
There's the best fucking heist of all time in LA so far. I mean, $30 million in cash.
If we could at least figure out the actual technique, like step by step, what happened, then I think it would be worth covering even unsolved.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't know step by step how it all went down, you know.
It's just too fresh right now. They haven't given us all the details yet.
I want to introduce the whole crew, you know. Demolitions expert.
Like it's a fucking Guy Ritchie film. Yeah. Got to get me crew.
Like it's Ocean's 11.
I'm going to get my crew. They're all a bit mad, but you're going to like them. Fucking montage.
Liz, demolition expert.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's done 3 tours in Iraq.
Can't hear out of her left ear. No thumb.
Exactly.
But yeah, Michael, that's our kind of a shenanigan. It's a headline, but it's also a bit of a shenanigan. Because like I said,
it is
victimless crime, so to speak. Nobody's gotten hurt so far.
Compared to the shit we typically cover.
Yeah.
This is pretty soft core, but pretty amazing.
I mean, even our burglar, even our ghost burglar.
$30 million, man. That's nothing to shake a stick at, dude. They are going to be hunted forever. $30 million.
Like I said, we also talked about this at this point. And at this point in history, where the crimes have been so bad and the murders have been so bad, it's like if someone can make away with like $30 million in cash from like a money storage facility, it's like how long can we just let them? I mean, how long do we have to try to find them?
Right.
After a while, it's I feel like the cops
trying to find them.
I feel like the cops don't want to find them.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the cops will be like, I mean, it'll be cool to find them because I want to know how they did it. But like, you know what? Fucking jealous. Good for them. Like,
yeah.
Jealous. Jeez. 30 right. mil? God.
Be hard not to take a bribe when you find them, huh?
One night, 30
knowing
mil?
How much money they have. Be like, hey, look, $1 million. I never even saw you here.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, I want to know how you did it. But like, I mean, you just tell me. I won't tell nobody.
Yeah.
I never saw you.
Like I say, $1 million. I never saw you here, man. I'm driving away.
Like I said, these guys have pulled off pretty great heist so far. It's a 50-50 here. It's like, do I want them to get caught or do I not want to get caught? I want to know how they got away with it. I want to know how they did it. It's like, you want to see how they broke into this place and got it, but at the same time, it's almost like that great mystery. It's like, how did they fucking do it?
Yeah. I would like to know more details, man, about the building and the state it was left, you know, where their doors unlocked afterwards, where their cameras destroyed, you know, all that kind of shit.
They're keeping a lot of that still.
Put something together. Yeah.
A lot of that's still close to the chest right now. It's only a few, like, I'm 2 weeks old yet, so they can't be giving away too much information.
Also, the more information they give away in this, the more embarrassing it becomes for them
too.
So I think a lot of that's going to be held close to the chest because they don't want to let other criminals know how unprotected these fucking facilities really are.
Yeah, they want to give anybody a how-to.
No, absolutely not.
They have to make sure they fixed all the problems and then explain how they did it.
Yeah, exactly. If ever.
Yeah.
But all right, guys. But that's our episode this week of Headlines and Shenanigans. I got one more thing to get to, Andy. You know what it is?
Oh my God.
You're close.
Oh my God.
No, it's not. Oh my God.
Oh my God. What is it? What is it? It's so right close, there on the tip of my tongue.
You're right there.
Oh my God. What is it?
Close enough.
Wait. Oh!
You got it. Oh my God. It's an innovative all-natural deodorant, fragrance, and beard oil company specializing in paraben and aluminum-free products. Their innovative line of deodorants inhibit the growth of odor-causing bacteria while still maintaining effectiveness. And at Oh My God, there are tons of scents to choose from, guys. From vanilla, cherry, almond, sandalwood, lavender, lemongrass, Egyptian musk, coconut, dreamsicle, leather, lumberjack, honeysuckle, fireside, bergamot, amber, pear, sweet pea, sailor, barbershop, recently added aloha, and of course, don't forget true crime pine, Andy. Don't forget it, dude.
Oh, I can't forget it.
You don't. Take a whiff.
That's musky. Never mind.
Take a whiff.
I forgot something.
You forgot it today.
I forgot something.
True Crime Pine is our very own scent here at True Crime Guys. And because you're True Crime Guys listeners, you can use the word creeper for 15% off your order. That's C-R-E-E-P-E-R for 15% off your order at shop_OhMyGaia on Instagram or OhMyGaia.com. That's OhMyGaia.com. Don't flake on the Oh My Gaia.
You actually won't forget it. Once you actually try it, you won't forget it.
You won't forget it. It's better than having aluminum in your armpits, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's all itchy. All this tinfoil I keep wearing is just getting wrong.
It's raw. Yeah, but at least the aliens can't get to you.
Not to my pits.
No, not to your pits. That's where they really want to get. It's where all those nerves are.
Right.
Yeah. But guys, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with a brand new True Crime Guys case. And if you missed us, a lot and you want to hear a regular True Crime Guys case, check out Patreon, patreon.com/truecrimeguys. That's where we were with our regular episode this week. We covered Bernard C. Welch, the most prolific burglar of all time, possibly. The ghost burglar.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting case, something a little lighter, but it does still have murder, Andy.
It does.
It does have murder. It's kind of a criteria in a way.
I mean, yeah.
In a way.
And don't forget Strange Unexplained this past week.
That's right.
The mysterious death of Bob Crane.
Yes.
Star of Hogan's Heroes.
That's right.
Very, very brutal celebrity death. It was, you know, I was not aware of, I never heard of this, but it was, not like a Marilyn Monroe, not like a, even like a George Reeves, not like a
Natalie Wood.
Not even, not like a, this may have been
suicide.
There was
suicide. No accidental here.
Nah, this was one of those, his face is unrecognizable.
Yeah, he committed suicide by beating his own face in.
Yeah, unless he committed suicide by self-beating.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out, Strange and Unexplained, wherever you listen to podcasts, and as well as checking out Xandu Stories, our audio theater podcast, and we'll have new episodes coming out very soon. But guys, other than that, I guess we'll see you next week, and keep creeping, Andy?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's keep creeping. All right, see you guys.
Bye!